they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm East Town, just watch no bandit run.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Text line, you want to get in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. Also, coming up on the program here about an hour, Morgan Murphy, he's a candidate for United States Senate. He'll be making time for us. And the 10 o'clock hour, the 11 o'clock hour, as we always do, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. So please make sure you stay tuned for that as well. Joining us now, he is the publisher of Alabama Daily News and the host of Capital Journal. Our friend Todd Stacey joined us on the line. Todd, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Well, I guess we need to start here with some sort of national or federal politics. And, you're kind of watching the shutdown. And, the national news is doing it the national news way. And it's, how does this impact poll numbers and midterms or whatever? I am curious because you seem to have some insight into this. But looking at it and how it does sort of impact Alabama directly, because whenever I talk to guys up in Huntsville, Dale Jackson and Yaffe, I mean, that's what they're talking about. It's the shutdown and the furloughed employees. It is what it is. You go work for the federal government and this could happen, but maybe it's not as well known to the rest of the state.
Well, yeah, certainly. Huntsville's a federal town, so I'm not surprised to hear that's, a real issue up there. But you talked about the media's coverage of it. And that's kind of entertaining for me too, because I was working in Congress when the 2013 shutdown happened, right? That was the defund Obamacare shutdown. And it was really the exact opposite of today's shutdown, because, then it was Republicans, Ted Cruz specifically, demanding something, a policy change, right? We want to defund Obamacare or else we're not going to fund the government. So Republicans in the Senate then were essentially blocking a clean CR, clean meaning just a simple, extension of current spending levels, blocking that in order to exact a policy change, defunding Obamacare, which obviously the Democrats were never going to go for. They controlled the Senate then, obviously had the White House. They were not going to roll back the president's main policy, win. And yet, and the media covered it like that, right? It was Republicans had no chance. And maybe for good reason, right? I mean, it was so fast forward to today, and it's the exact opposite. Republicans are trying to pass a clean CR, just a simple extension of spending levels. And it's the Democrats blocking it, trying to exact a policy change, namely, the extension of these COVID era Obamacare tax credits, premium tax credits, and a handful of other things. But that's the main policy they're seeking. And yet the media does not treat it the same way. Right. I mean, back then, 12 years ago, Republicans were just beat up in the press because of, how could you possibly block a clean CR and try to get this thing? You would think, turnabout's fair play, but it's not. Instead, it's just kind of this both sidesism. So, Republicans can't really catch a break when it comes to media coverage. But I also agree with you that it doesn't matter that much, because I don't think people are paying all that much attention. Nobody cares right. who's winning the messaging war. But it is striking to me how, the shoe's on the other foot, and yet the media doesn't treat it that way.
And it's such a, you know, an interesting point because, you know, you and I have lived through these and you were a part of one, but looking at it, Todd, I mean, it just feels like things are kind of just humming along. There's not the calamity, and maybe they tried a little bit, the media did, but I don't think the mainstream media really lands the punch like it used to. There's just so much out there now. It's a crowded space, and these outlets that used to drive the narrative, especially after 24, just don't seem to have what they've had. And you even look at, like, some of the polling, and yeah, I don't think it's good for anybody. I don't think anybody's like, yay, shut down, but I do think that, you know, in some ways, there's some on the Republican base that are kind of cheering this on. Not that they're like, yay, shut down either, but they're like, yay, the Republicans are sticking to their guns on this one.
Well, yeah, both sides are like that. And what's interesting about, you know, just historically conservatives don't really love the government. And so a little shutdown of that is, you know, nobody cries over that. And now the Democrats, because they hate Trump so much, it's Trump's government. So if that shut down for a little while, then that's fine. But you're right about the bases. Hardcore MAGA Republican is going to punish a Republican member of Congress or senator for sticking to their guns, sticking with the president, just saying no to the Democrats, right? That is, no matter what the issue is, you're not going to get punished as a politician on the Republican side for doing that. Same thing with Democrats, and maybe even more so these days. No Democrat, especially the left wing that kind of controls the Democratic Party now, those voters are not going to punish a Democrat that fights Trump, right? Even to shut down the government, if you do it in the name of fighting Trump, you're not going to get punished for that. And so those are the incentives now, or maybe the lack of, there's kind of a lack of incentive to find a compromise or find some kind of deal to open the government back up, because those are the two sides and nobody's ever going to get punished for that. So until that changes, you know, and it will at some point, the status quo will change, but I don't really see an end point really in the next couple of weeks. It may be another month.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there's almost a disincentive to come to an agreement.
Right.
And here's something I was talking to Bradley Jay with Breitbart News about this. I'm kind of stunned about this, how well the Republicans have stuck together in this one. Because typically in these shutdowns, you'll have a few that are like, I just don't know what my caucus is thinking. I can't believe they're doing this. This is crazy. It was certainly true during the Ted Cruz shutdown, but some of the others over time, you know, you've always had a few defections. And Mike Johnson, who takes a lot of hits as Speaker, and I think that they probably would be a little further along had McCarthy still been Speaker, but he's kept the House together. Thune, the Senate's just a different beast, and there's different ways you get them all on the same page. But I mean, is that struck you at all? Just how both sides? I mean, there's already defections on the Democrat side, obviously, and Fetterman's showing up on Fox News in prime time. But on the Republican side, you're not really having this.
You're not, and that is interesting because you're right that typically it's Republicans that are, you know, kind of waffle at some point. But I think part of that, especially thinking back to the Ted Cruz shutdown, I mean, there was a weakness to the argument back then. Now there's really not. I mean, they really are passing a clean CR. I mean, the House has passed a clean CR. It's a very simple thing. So I think part of the advantage for Republicans right now, and then part of the reason why it's been easier for them to stick together, is they're kind of just right. I mean, they're just trying to fund the government. They're not asking for this policy or that policy. They're not trying to cut a certain percent of government. It's just a clean CR. So when you have a message that clear and direct and just kind of easy to understand, then I think it's easier to stick together. If they were trying to play a game, kind of like we were back in 2013. We're playing a game there. Then it's tougher to stick together because just, you know, your honesty will win out. Like, okay, let's be real here. But if you're just being real, it's a pretty simple proposition. And so it's the Democrats that are asking for something. They're the ones really playing the game here. And so I think it's only natural for them to, you know, have the, you know, intellectual honesty questions.
How different would this be if this were, it wasn't a midterm coming up in 26, but a presidential election? Because, you know, the reason I ask it like that is, it does seem like a base play. It does seem like they're playing to the base, and I think both sides, but I'm not here to play both sides-ism, but the politics are what they are. This is the kind of system we have. That's fine with me. And so you can't let your base down. You need them. You need them in 26. They got to come out for you, and I suspect that they will. But you are looking at it, and you hear all the stories about Chuck Schumer worried about a primary challenge on his side in a couple of years or wherever it may be. But that's what it looks like to me is like, well, you know, if this were like a broader thing, a national referendum, then we would be probably more willing to compromise. But right now, you got to do this for your own political survival.
Yeah, if it was a presidential year and the president was on the ballot for like reelection, then there would have been a deal a long time ago. And if it was an actual, like if this was 2026, this wouldn't be happening. Everybody would want to get a deal, go back home and campaign. So the fact that we're in 2025, a year away from an election, matters quite a bit. But it also matters that, a lot of Democrats are facing primary challenges. They're kind of going through the same, era that Republicans went through, kind of, Tea Party, then it kind of merged into MAGA, where a lot of Republicans were primaried, and they feared primaries from, the more right-wing part of the base. Democrats are facing the same thing now from their more progressive base. They absolutely fear it. I think Chuck Schumer is the prime example. AOC could announce tomorrow and beat him, right? I mean, it wouldn't even be close. So, and he knows that. I mean, just look at the politics of New York. And it's not just him. There's plenty like that. So they've got to show that they're fighting Trump, even if it's, tilting at windmills. That's a big part of it. Electoral politics. And that's what's kind of interesting about it too, because Trump really technically is a lame duck, right? Especially after these midterms. He's not going to run again. And yet he's governing not like the lame duck. He's really more in control than most second term presidents. And obviously still controlling the narrative. He's the main character for all of the stories. So yeah, it's really interesting. But yeah, if this was next year, this would not be continuing. Everybody would want to figure out a way to end it and go home.
Joined by Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News. Wind it down on this. The AJ McCarron announcement yesterday is kind of interesting. I already see like the social media posts. Wow, look at those crazy people in Alabama and their football and their obsession. And here you have another example of it. But what I think it is, Todd, it's just this desire by the electorate for outsiders. It may be, football certainly helps. But what do you make of the whole AJ McCarron phenomenon?
Yeah, he's made it official, and in a real campaign video, it doesn't seem like too much of a vanity exercise. I think he really wants it. It is interesting because I think, there was a lot of talk of Bruce Pearl, a lot of talk of Feinbaum, and we'll see about Feinbaum, but I think folks saw what Tuberville did in 2020 and kind of think it's easy, right? Like, oh, well, Tuberville was this, head coach and came out of coaching for a while and put his name on the ballot a state he's not even native from and won. Man, that must be pretty easy. But it really wasn't. I mean, Tuberville, if you remember, he spent like 2 years going around to all the Republican groups, all the alpha groups, really it.
Let me say this real quick because we're running short on time. But, you know, like, I was thinking about this the other day, Todd, how maybe one of his most underrated traits when he was head coach at Auburn was his ability to navigate politics. And we know how the Jet game. Now beating Alabama in 2003 certainly helped him have political leverage, but he took on the Auburn machine and beat it. When's the last time that happened? And so you think about it, well, he just got lucky and just, but he wasn't a dummy about it. He took his leverage he got from winning the Iron Bowl that year, because he wasn't supposed to, and used it and took on, you know, Louder Rain and all those guys and emerged and then went on and then probably even piled on after going undefeated in 2004. But he beat that machine. And so you think about that. I mean, certainly that applies to, like, navigating the pitfalls of politics federally and statewide.
Yeah, he was always a pretty good politician. One bit of clarification, Jimmy Rain was not on the airplane. He was against that whole plot. But just to stand up for that. But, yeah, I agree. He was always a very good public relations, you know, politics-wise. And so it's just not that, you know, Tuberville, he made it look easy, and certainly him running for governor makes it look easy, but it's really not. And that 2020 election was really close. And maybe would have gone differently, you know, had it not been for COVID extending the election. So, you know, anyway, we'll see about AJ McCarron. I'm looking forward to interviewing him.
All right. Well, Todd, folks want to find out more about your newsletter and who you got on Capital Journal. Let us know.
A good show for Capital Journal tonight. We're going to be talking with Stephen Reed, the mayor of Montgomery. A lot to talk about with Stephen Reed, with the mass shooting, Jackson Hospital, and all the rest. Also going to be talking with James Spann, the famed meteorologist. He's starting his own statewide weather network. So really good conversations on Capital Journal tonight. That's 7:30 on Alabama Public Television.
Todd, as always, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Jeff, be good.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Up from Santa.